I don't usually preach, well, I don't preach long anyways on Palm Sunday because of the length of the story. And the story itself is so rich that I'm sure that you've got some meaning from it. But I came across a reflection in, by a National Catholic Reporter writer by the name of Patricia Sanchez, and I want to share her this with you because I think it helped me and I think it can help you. How many people are familiar with Brennan Manning? Anybody know Brennan Manning? Nobody? Well, maybe you go look up Brennan Manning. He's an author. He's a wonderful storyteller. He was a priest, I think, at one time. I'm not sure where he is today. But he's a wonderful, wonderful storyteller. And in the signature of Jesus, Brennan Manning passes on the story of this elderly old man who meditated every day under a big tree on the bank of the Ganges River. And one morning after he meditated, he had finished praying. The man opened his eyes and he saw a scorpion that was floating helplessly in the water, trying to escape, but was drowning. And as the scorpion washed nearer to the tree, the man quickly stretched himself out on one of the long roots that stretched out over the and extended over the river, and he reached out to try to save the drowning scorpion. And as soon as he touched it, of course, it stung him. Instinctively, of course, he withdrew his hand. A few minutes later, when he got his balance, he regained his balance. He stretched himself out again on that tree roots, trying to save this floundering scorpion. Again, the scorpion stung him, right? This time, the sting was so severe that the man's hand became swollen and bloody, and his face contorted with pain. At that very moment, a passerby saw the old man stretched out on the tree root, still struggling to somehow save this uncooperative scorpion. And shouting, he said, "Hey, you stupid old man, what's the matter with you? Only a fool would risk his life for the sake of an ugly, evil creature. Don't you know you could kill yourself trying to save that ungrateful scorpion?" At that, the old man turned, and he looked directly into the eyes of his detractor, and he calmly replied, "My friend, just because it is the scorpion's nature to sting, that does not change the fact that it is my nature to save." With this old tale in mind, we turn to the sacred text of this most holy week in order to remember and celebrate that it is God's nature to love. It is God's nature to heal. It is God's nature to forgive. It's God's nature to protect, to save, to create. That's the nature of God. God's nature is not and never will be to punish, to condemn. Maybe some of the followers of Jesus may proclaim that, but they're not Christian, even though they claim to be. Even when human beings do what is wrong, even when we're selfish, even when we're downright evil, God's nature does not change. There's nothing that you can do in your life or anybody to change God's nature. It's God's nature to love. God cannot not love. It is the very nature of God to reach out with the gift of reconciliation. It is the very essence of God's nature to love, to save. This we know. How do we know this? How do we know this? Because of the incarnation. That's how. That's your answer. How do you know God's nature? Because Jesus came down and showed us who God is, what the nature of God is. Did you hear that reading from Philippians? How he gave himself up, totally gave himself up. Not thinking about his own well-being, became one with us for our sake. For us, he humbled and was willing to die this horrible death, thereby revealing how completely invested that God is in the human condition. And then we read in the first reading from Deutero-Isaiah, in fulfillment of that reading, the description of the servant. Jesus gave himself over to those who tortured him. Unyielding, he was determined to see his mission through to its bloody conclusion. My brothers and sisters, in this he exhibited the tenacious nature of God, who does not give up on us, who relentlessly pursues us until we learn to find our way home. God's going to make sure you find your way home. And if you're concerned for any one of your children or your grandchildren or anybody, whether they'll get home, don't worry. God will see to it. That's God's deepest desire, that we all be in union with God. God is love, is endless love. God is unconditional love. God is everlasting love. This loving nature of God was reflected in Jesus' gentle way with everyone that he met, in his willingness to welcome children, in his outreach to foreigners, to the Samaritans, to the outcast of his society. God's loving nature was evident each time Jesus healed the sick, every time he forgave someone. This love was revealed, I think, most eloquently at the Last Supper Jesus shared with his friends, where he gave himself as food. And after his death and resurrection, the disciples knew him to be present with them in the breaking of the bread at the Eucharist. As we celebrate these most holy days, I'd ask you to remember, as we break open the bread of the Word, as we break open and share the bread of life, that God's nature, love, continues to be revealed to us. And then, may we also live in such a way that God's nature is also revealed through you, through me. We're the ones now, followers of that same Jesus, to continue his mission to reveal the nature of God, and that nature is to love. That's what we're here to do. We live, we move, we have our being in God, but God also has to have and does have his life in and through us. So as we remember the passion and death and resurrection of Christ, let us remember that God comes always to save, to free us and to liberate, that God loves us deeply, and that we're called to do the same.